Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
As I've been praying about this new year for us, for our church, I've been praying and asking God, what's going to keep us formidable? What's going to keep us strong and grounded and focused in this new year? Because as we all know, this world is pretty good at getting our focus off of what's most important, right? We are bombarded more than ever with images and ideas and rhetoric that will take our focus off of that which is most important. And so my prayer has been, God, keep us formidable. And the only way I really know how to do that is as we stay grounded in prayer. As we stay grounded in prayer, focused on the Lord, the promise is that we will receive from God a divine power that will keep us focused on Him. Because if you stay in communication with God, you're going to stay focused on God and His purposes and His will. And so last week I talked to you about a simple prayer that we can and should and must pray to keep us grounded. And the prayer from Proverbs chapter 3 is very simply this: Lord, direct my footsteps. Direct, guide my footsteps. That's a prayer that God will answer. If we sincerely go before God and say, God, guide me, direct me, you lead me in the direction I need to go, He wants desperately to answer that prayer. The other reason why that prayer is so important is because we need God's impulse to help us to go in the direction we need to go, rather than we make decisions based on our own natural impulse. How many of us have made bad decisions out of anger or based on the flesh or some other motive that's not of God? And so when we pray, Lord, you direct my footsteps, you guide my path, we're asking for God's intervention to guide us and lead us rather than our own natural fleshly impulse. And so that's an important prayer for us to pray as we begin the new year, as we seek to stay focused on God. God, direct my footsteps. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And the promise is He will direct your path. So that's an ongoing, everyday, moment-by-moment prayer. God, please direct my footsteps. I want us to look at another prayer for us in this new year that will keep us formidable. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And I love it when the scriptures are very clear. I mean, there are times that the scriptures are not as clear and they're kind of gray, but there are many times in the Bible where it's just crystal clear, black and white. And these are a couple of those very clear verses about how to pray, how to stay formidable, how to stay grounded in prayer. And we read this in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, and that's really all of us, they should ask God. So let me stop here for a minute. You may not be a strong person in prayer. Prayer may not be your strong suit. But if you want to take your prayer to the next level, if you want to know how to pray, if you want to begin praying, ask God for wisdom. Your prayer can be as simple as, God, give me wisdom. So if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. And what does God do? He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to them. But here's the caveat. Verse 6. But when we ask, we must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And so we know it's God's will to ask for God's wisdom. And you can pray that prayer with confidence, not doubting, because if God wants to lavish His wisdom upon us, if God wants to desperately guide us in this new year, we can pray boldly and not question or doubt, oh, is this really God's will for my life? We know this is God's will for our lives. So we go before God in prayer and we pray boldly, God, give me wisdom. Let us pray. Father, we all need direction in this new year. This new year will bring challenges. It's an election year here in the States, and already the political rhetoric is divisive. There's a lot happening in our country and in our community. There's just a lot going on. There's so many competing voices. There's a lot of different directions we can go. And so we need to be guided and led by You. Your impulse, not our impulse. We need to be walking in Your footsteps, not our footsteps. And God, as James clearly teaches Your people here, that one of the things we can ask for in confidence so that we can stay strong in You is this ongoing prayer of God, give me wisdom. Give us wisdom. And that's our humble prayer this day. God, give us wisdom. In Your name we pray. Amen. So I hope you got what you wanted for Christmas this year. Are you happy with what you got for Christmas? If you're not, it's not too late. Because today, in many parts of the world, is officially Christmas Day. Our Orthodox brothers and sisters in Christ are at this hour celebrating Christmas. Our Ethiopian and Egyptian brothers and sisters in Christ are celebrating Christmas. So if you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas this year, it's not too late. All right? Maybe, just maybe, by the time this day is over, you'll get what you wanted for Christmas. Mike is not in the room this morning, but he's a pretty smart cookie. He thought to himself, how can I get out of school and not have Mom and Dad get mad at me? So you know what he got me for Christmas? He got me tickets for professional wrestling tomorrow night up in Portland. What a smart kid, right? He can get out of school, not have Mom or Dad mad at him, and we get to hang out together and watch big guys beat up on each other. So I hope you got what you wanted for Christmas. But James says here, the greatest thing we can ask for and receive is wisdom. That really is the greatest thing we could ask for and receive, is wisdom. So what is wisdom? The Bible tells us we need to ask for it. The Bible says we need it. The Bible says we're lacking. So what is godly wisdom? Is it doing better with your finances this year? Well, I think that's a big part of it, absolutely. I think all of us can do better with the money that we have. And if this is an area where you struggle with, in the past, Renee has taught courses on financial planning and financial help. And so if there's enough interest, we can have another class like that. You may not know Renee has her MBA, Masters of Business Administration, so this is a strong suit for her. She knows money and can help you use and invest and spend and save your money wisely. And so I think a big part of wisdom is, you know, how do we best use the resources at our disposal? Is asking for wisdom pertinent to our health? I think that's a big part of it. On Wednesday night, we just finished this book that we were in the last 10 weeks called Pursuing Health in an Anxious Age. He's a medical doctor, writes from a Christian perspective. And this book, every week, gave us quite a bit of discussion, more so than I expected, about the issues that we're dealing with when it comes to our health. And so, yes, I do believe that a big part of wisdom is, how do we take care of our bodies? How can we best glorify God with our bodies, our temples, where the Holy Spirit resides? So that's a big part of it. And it's an area where we need to lovingly hold each other accountable. Does wisdom have to do with our relationships? As I said last week, a bad relationship can break this new year. A good relationship, a healthy relationship, can make this year. And so I do think that a big part of wisdom entails, how do we go about being in healthy, vibrant, life-giving relationships? What does it mean to be in a healthy home? What does it mean to have healthy relationships? What does it mean to be part of a healthy church family? That's very important. And so in a couple of weeks, probably closer to the spring, we're going to be starting a discipleship course on emotionally healthy relationships, on how we can be healthy in our relationships. Even if the world is becoming more and more divisive and more cold, we can still live with healthy, life-giving, vibrant relationships. And so I do think that it's important that wisdom entails, you know, our finances, our health, our relationships. But it's also more than that. It's so much more than that. I guess the question we need to ask is, what does wisdom look like? What does a wise person look like? I don't know about your social media feed, but in my social media feed, AI is just producing all kinds of stuff. And there's some good with AI, and there's some dangers with AI. But a couple days ago, this came across my feed, and it showed a picture of what Elvis Presley would look like today if he were alive. It's pretty interesting. But what really captured my attention with this particular picture was the caption that went with it. It said this: if Elvis Presley got older, he would look like a wise man. Which begs the question, what does a wise person look like? I don't know about you, but I've known plenty of older people with gray hair and wrinkles who don't act very wisely. But I've also known younger people who are very prudent and act more wisely beyond their years. And so I think we kind of do a disservice if we just superficially look at someone and say, oh, they're older, they must be wise. That's not necessarily true. Although with age, hopefully, comes wisdom. Speaking of AI, I had a little bit of fun this morning. I had a little bit of extra time. You know, we're talking about our chili feed after church. And I asked AI, what would John and Charles Wesley look like eating a bowl of chili? And this is what AI came up with. So... They may join us for our chili feed, you never know. There's a story of a policeman who saw a drunk man. The drunk man was searching for something under a street light, and the policeman approached him, and he asked the drunk man, he said, well, what are you looking for? What have you lost? And the drunk man, in his stupor, said, well, I'm looking for my keys. And so the policeman, being a good policeman that he is, starts helping the drunken man look for his keys. After a few minutes, the policeman says to the drunk, he says, are you sure you lost them here? And the drunk man said, no, I lost them in the park across the street. And so the policeman asks him, well, why are you searching here? And the drunk person replies, well, this is where the street light is. We need wisdom. We need God's wisdom to know where to look, to know where to go, to know how to live. Because if we rely upon our own human wisdom, we're looking in all the wrong places. Speaking of John and Charles Wesley, John was a profusely diligent journaler, and he would journal almost every day. And exactly 283 years ago today, in his journal from January 7, 1741, he writes this and gives us a pretty good indication of what godly wisdom looks like. He says this. He says, "I found another believer patiently waiting for the salvation of God, desiring neither health, not ease, nor life, nor death, but only that his will, God's will, be done." Let me read that to you again. He found a believer who was patiently waiting for the salvation of God, desiring really not health or ease or life or death, but only that God's will should be done. I think that's a pretty good definition of what godly wisdom looks like, is that we seek to pursue the will of God over everything else. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I think this will be a good guide for us in this new year as to how to apply the wisdom of God that he gives us. And this is a good checklist for us as we ask God for wisdom in our prayers, and then we apply that wisdom to our everyday lives. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is kind of an interesting checklist that we can apply to our lives and something for us to contemplate as we begin this new year. We ask God for wisdom. God, give us wisdom. Now, how do we apply that wisdom in our everyday lives so that your will be done in us? So we'll just kind of go through Ecclesiastes chapter 3 as we meditate on these words. Beginning at verse 1, "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." Verse 2, "A time to be born and a time to die." Let's just reflect on that for a minute. What things of God need to be birthed in you in this new year? What seeds does God want to birth in you in this new year? But on the flip side of that, what things in your life that are worthless need to die? God, help us with your wisdom. Verse 2, "A time to plant and a time to uproot." God, what seeds do you want to germinate in my life? But also, what do I need to uproot in my life that's not pleasing to you? Verse 3, "A time to kill and a time to heal." God, what is it in my life that I just need to do away with? But what in my life needs healing? What in my life needs restoration? Verse 3, "A time to tear down and a time to build." God, what in my life, what in my home, what about me needs to be torn down, and what do you want to build in its place? Verse 4, "A time to weep and a time to laugh." I had someone ask me just yesterday, "Is it okay to cry over my grandmother who passed away years ago?" And I said, "Of course it is. Because you're grieving someone very special to you. And maybe it's time to just grieve losses in your life so that God can make room for his joy and his laughter." The end of verse 4, "There's a time to mourn and a time to dance." God, give me the wisdom to have that balance in my life. Give me the wisdom to mourn the things, the losses of this past year or this past decade, but also help me to rejoice and dance in your goodness and in the things that you have for me. Verse 5, "A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them." God, give me the wisdom to displace the things that need to be displaced and to embrace the things that you want me to embrace. the end of verse 5, a time to embrace and a time to refrain. God, give me the wisdom to either approach or to back off. Verse 6, a time to search and a time to give up. God, help me to differentiate between the two. Do I keep running after that which I think is important, or do I just call it quits? God, give me your wisdom. Verse 7, a time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. Oh, we really need God's wisdom with this one.
Amen.
There are some of you who God is telling you, speak up. By nature, you may be quiet. By nature, you may be reserved. But if God urges you to speak, speak up. There are others of us, we just talk too much. And there are times when God tells us to zip it, and that's where we leave it. God, give us the wisdom when to speak up and when to be quiet. Verse 8. A time to love and a time to hate. God, give me the wisdom to know that that person who I've been avoiding, that person who I just don't want to get to know and love in Christian love, maybe it's time for me to make that step and to embrace them and love them. But maybe there's things in my life, there's evil, that I just need to come to that point where I hate, that I hate this sin, this evil, this attitude in my heart, and I just do away with it. And the end of verse 8, a time for war and a time for peace. Go through this next week and meditate on these again. And get a notebook and make a list. Listen to God's voice. Say, God, give me wisdom. What do I need to do away with in my life? What do I need to embrace in my life? The scriptures here give us a pretty thorough course to chart our life and to live according to God's wisdom. Take some time this week and meditate on Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This first week of the new year, Micah and I are reading through the Old Testament minor prophet book of Micah. And we just take a chapter or two every night and we literally read word for word. We're enjoying it so much that I think we're just going to do all the minor prophets and just read through all the minor prophets. But in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, perhaps his most pronounced saying and direction, wisdom, his proclamation to the people of God, Micah says this in Micah 6, 8, as a way for God's people to live in the wisdom of God. You read the first five chapters of the book of Micah, there's a lot of things that they needed to do away with. Their greed, their idolatry, their lust. There's a lot of things the people of God just had to do away with. But what they needed to live into, to live according to the wisdom of God, can be summarized in Micah 6, 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's living according to the wisdom of God. Doing away with the stuff in our lives that just have no business being there, that keep us from living in Micah 6, 8. But then with God's wisdom, God's direction, and most of all, God's Spirit enabling us. My prayer for this new year, for me, for you, for all of us, is that we act justly, rightly, love mercy, and we walk in humility with our God. We're going to partake in Holy Communion. seeking God's wisdom, seeking more of God in this new year, seeking His power to help us live exactly this way as the Scriptures declare. And so I want to pray as we prepare our hearts for communion that God would give us the strength and the direction and the wisdom to live prudently in the way that He would have us to live. As we pray, God, give us wisdom. Give me wisdom on how to live my life. Father, we need Your direction. We need Your wisdom. Wisdom can come with age, but really it comes when we are obedient to Your word. And in that regard, wisdom knows no boundaries of age. So I pray for all of us that we will know You more, that we will walk in obedience to Your word, that we would take the necessary time to just do away with stuff in our lives that keep us from walking in wisdom. And then help us by Your Spirit to grow deeper into the ways of God that will keep us grounded in prayer and formidable in this year to come. So Lord, our prayer is give us wisdom. We admit that we lack. We admit that we're finite. We admit that our natural impulses far too often take over, and we need divine impulses to guide and lead and to instruct and enable us into how to live. The people of God back then were really no different than us. They were prone to wander. They were prone to the lusts of the flesh, riches, the things of the world. We're in the same boat. So we need Your Spirit to keep us grounded and focused on that which matters most. God, may our prayer be that You come first in this new year. First. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will take care of itself. But oh, we go about it backwards. We try to build our own kingdom, thinking that things are going to take care of themselves, and we end up realizing it's just a house of cards. Jesus said, seek first My things, the kingdom of God. That's our prayer, Lord. Help us to seek Your wisdom, Your kingdom, Your direction, and Your ways.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.